Amen. I'm honored. Amen. I'm honored to be here this morning. Humbled that Pastor Dunlop and Lighthouse and all you men would allow me to be here. If you have a Bible, Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 is where we're going. I'm thinking about the messages and thinking about today and thinking about what I need from a session like this so far. Jehoiada, boy, we've had some men in my life that have just been amazing. Pastor Preston, for me, that I have to take over for. What an amazing Jehoiada in my life. I've known him in my entire life. His wife changed my diapers. That's humbling. Especially when she says it from the pulpit, amen. So that's a blessing. And then, man, not a divided heart, man. What a message that was. Brother Carlos, I appreciate you and the ministry down there. I'm just jealous that he's down in San Diego down there. And I'm up here with Adam where we get our catalytic converters stole every other weekend. Seriously, Brother Adam, where'd you go, man? We've had two or three stolen from our shuttles and buses. It's a blessing. It's an encouragement. And you can hear the bus. There you are. You can hear the bus coming for sure. Sure. Our inspector doesn't like it at all when that happens. We've had some good messages, and now we come to me and the baloney in the middle. So just take it what it's worth. It'll keep you fed and keep you going, but I think the best is yet to come, amen. Brother Wrench, Brother Dunlop, I'm looking forward to what God is going to do with them. What godly men. What a blessing that we live in Southern California where there's a lot of good churches. People say, oh, the Bible Belt and all that. There's some good guys out there, but man, there's some great churches here in Southern California. Let's encourage each other. Let's be a blessing. Let's send millions of dollars to Brother Adam. Get those purple chairs out of there, man. Amen. All in favor say aye. That was the best unanimous vote right there in this church ever. There is some things I don't like about Southern California. Anybody? Yeah? I love the weather. Hallelujah. I'm not shoveling snow today. I'm going home and putting on shorts and flip-flops tonight. It's going to be great. My friend's back east. Although I do have an air conditioning guy fixing my air conditioning right now at the house, which I do need even in the winter, which is sad. But some things I don't like. I don't love traffic. Anybody? I could even say I hate traffic. Anybody with me? Adam? Amen. I'm picking on Adam today. All right. I hate the 91. If you want me to go down the 91, you better pay me good. Good. I don't want to go down the 91 anytime, any place, any way. You're going to fly in to see me. You better not fly into LAX because I ain't picking you up. You're going to have to Uber. You're Ubering out, baby, because Ontario, I'm in. John Wayne, okay, I'll do it. But, going into L.A. or down the 91. Anybody with me? Yeah? Yeah. There's some things I hate. I don't like cucumbers. Anybody? I don't like cucumbers. They're evil fruit. I don't know, vegetable. They don't like me. I don't like them. We have an agreement. We don't eat cucumbers in my house. That's disgusting. There's some things that God hates. Did you know that? Today we're talking about being an example. Jehoiada, we talk about divided heart. Let me just get to the heart of the matter today. Let's go straight to sin. This is the men's conference. Can I just be completely honest and blunt today? We're not. I watched a John Wayne movie last night. I know I'm a hypocrite. I'm evil. And my son, my 15-year-old son, was sick, laying on the sofa last night. We watched the John Wayne movie together. He says, "Dad, this isn't politically correct." And I said, "Son, and I like it. It's the one where he spanks his wife. Amen." Can we edit that out? Amen. Edit that out. Proverbs chapter 6. There's a sin that is hard to detect, and the result is so, so, so deadly. God hates it more than any other sin. It's been around since before man, and it is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter age, ethnicity, creed, strength. This sin will get you. This sin will destroy you. And every one of us in this room deals with this sin. You say, "Pastor, no, I've got it under control." You're the guy that I'm talking to. Because I am the one that struggles with this sin. You are the one that struggles with sin. Men as whole, it is ingrained in our DNA. This sin will kill us. And it is killing American churches. It is killing the society. And we got to deal with it this morning. We're going to head on it. We're going to deal with it, see what it looks like, and we're going to get rid of it. It's a sin which most Christians stumble. It is a contaminant. We have to face it. And you know what it is? It's pride. Proverbs 6 and verse 16. Nice and slow. These six things does the Lord tolerate. Is that what it says? I'm sick of that word. Don't use that word around me. Either love it or hate it. Don't tolerate it, okay? Hot or cold, the Bible says, I think. Yea, seven are an abomination. How to win and friends and influence people. Right there. Use that word in the conversation. Seven are an abomination unto him. Right at the top of the list. You see it? Let's say those three words together. Ready, begin. A proud look. Let's try it again like men. A proud look. Almost, those are Methodist men. Ready? A proud look. A lying tongue. And we could go into that. Hands that shed innocent blood. Praise the Lord for Roe v. Wade and all that stuff. But what are we doing about it? How are we involved in that? Pride is thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Boy, social media plays into that. Those guys are, both those guys already mentioned it. Looking online and seeing others and what they're doing and going, oh, feeling awful about yourself or being puffed up about what you are doing and how great you are. Social media is such a lie. How come we don't put on there? I had a fight with my wife last night. See, I had to sleep on the sofa. We never post that, do we? Open the fridge and some moldy cheese, and there's a lot left in the month. Nobody ever put that in there, huh? It's humbling to think that God made man out of dirt. In this room, there's a whole lot of dust. That's it. Dust. And without the breath of life, nothing. And the reality is, even with the breath of life, you're still a whole lot of nothing. Without the Holy Spirit in you, scientists took a man's body, and after everything is said and done and back to dust, swept it up into a pan, and they said, these chemicals that make up the ash, the dust of this human body, if you put it on eBay and sold it, it would be about $3 with inflation. You are worth, in your chemical components, around $3. $3, you can't even get a tank of gas, guys. Some places, you can't even get a cup of coffee. Now, where I go, you can, but I'm not picky. Proverbs 27 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth. A stranger, and not thine own lips. But we go beyond patting ourselves on the back. Look at me, look at me. I'm lifted up. Look at how great I am. I have nose hair, it's amazing. Pride is taking credit for success. A proud person will seek compliments and brag on his accomplishments. Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am. Yeah? We need more of that. All of your possession is only by God's grace and mercy. There's no self-made men. You are an illumination of everyone who has ever invested in you. You are nothing without those men and women that have invested in you and trained you and the Jehoiadas that were in your life that have said, go in this direction. Carlos said it great. Whoever you're standing on top of, that's who you should be praising. Everyone in this room have men and women and people in your life to look back and go, boy, if it wasn't for them, I would be. If it wasn't for that quote and that statement and that person that confronted me when I was going down a path and I was thinking about going in this direction or that direction, and they saved me from making that awful mistake. We deflect the praise back to God. Do not just say thank you when praised, but point to others that have helped you along the way. Pride is thinking you deserve to be treated better than you are. We're getting to the description of what pride is. I think you know this, but the fact is we are all deserving of hell. Pause. The richest man in this room, the smartest man in this room. Oh, hi, Brother Jim. Good to see you. Oh, you. Yeah, yeah. Smartest man in the room for sure. Amen. We're deserving of nothing. God's grace. That's it. Those who think they deserve better often are easily offended. I'm going to get to that, guys. Hang on. Let's not be easily offended. Proud people are easily offended. My, our country, our churches are offended by everything. Boy, you've got purple chairs, you're offended. Your shoes aren't polished, you're offended. You went to Starbucks, you're offended. Great peace have they which love thy law. And only things that are great will offend thee. I could go into that verse and talk about it for a long time, but I know that men in this room, we're easily offended if we're not careful. Probably already said something that offends you, and that's great. I'm telling you, we need to be men that are not easily offended. Someone said, I have no problem with pride. Another replied, why should you? You have nothing to be proud of. The first man said, oh yeah, I have just as much to be proud of as you. Let me say this. Pride stops the words, I am sorry. Hello? Hello? You have friends and family in your life? You better be saying that a lot. You go to church, you probably better be saying that a lot. Let's practice it together. Let's say it 1, 2, 3. I am sorry. You want to have a peaceful home, a godly home? I am sorry. Let's just face it, we married up, didn't we? If you're married and she said yes, she had a weak moment and thank God for it. And the only way you're going to live and make that house be what God wants it to be is, I am sorry. Because I am full of pride. I got this, babe. Get out the way. I don't handle this. I can make it happen. It's flat on your face like Carlos splitting the direction there. Pride encourages us to keep up with the Joneses. I don't know who the Joneses are, but I wish we'd quit keeping up with them. Debt is killing American churches. Credit cards, Visa has more power in my church than the Holy Spirit does. When we live by Visa and not the Holy Spirit, oh man, we're in trouble. Oh no man, anything is still in the Bible, and it's a good, good thing. I don't have to be servant to the lender, hallelujah. I can say, God says, hey, move to Arkansas. And you go, okay, I'm moving to Arkansas. If you don't know, my assistant pastor's moving to Arkansas. We all hate him now. But you know what? I know he's following the Lord. I am sorry. Let's not keep up with the Joneses. We feel like we need to keep up with everyone else because of pride. Pride kills thankfulness. Boy, this room should be full of people who are thankful. Thankful for every little thing. The world around us isn't thankful for anything. Not a thing. Oh, we got a stimulus check. Yeah, I deserved it. You don't deserve nothing but hell. You need the grace of God. I'm thankful. We need to be thankful, men. Everything that comes into our life, good, bad, and ugly, thank God for it. Be a thankful people. And foster it in your home. Foster it in your church. Foster it in your Sunday school class. Just go around being thankful for this old ratty carpet of the church. Hallelujah. Thankful for a bus that has bald tires. Hallelujah. Thankful for the clothes on our back. Thankful for the dentist we don't like and we owe money to. Thankful. Just a thankful people. Thankful people are humble people. Are they not? They just remember where they came from and where God has brought them from. It could have been you and me stuck on fentanyl. Could it was some of us that were addicted to alcohol. And we forget that. It was us that had a kid out of wedlock, but by God's grace are now going in the right direction, and that lady still loves you. You're going in the right direction and following the Lord. Story of a mother and a boy were in the supermarket. The manager gave the boy a shiny apple. He just gave the little six-year-old, here's the apple. And the mom said, what do you say to the nice man? He looked up at him disgustingly and said, peel it. Boy, that's an American attitude, isn't it? That is on Facebook and on Instagram and on Twitter and all those things out there. Peel it. I deserve it. And if we're not careful, it creeps into our homes and into our lives and into our churches. And Pastor, I can't believe the air conditioning isn't working. Praise God, we have padded seats. Quit complaining about the air conditioning. Have you been to India? Been to a foreign country? Boy, I've stood for 6 hours in the service. They seem pretty happy about it. Just be gathered around the Word of God and we complain about things that don't even really matter. I got 6, 7 Bibles and 10 apps. I've got places I've been to in India that were like, they have portions of the Word of God and they're huddled around it and they're thankful and grateful and weeping. So I'd be so proud and lifted up. Proud people think they deserve a home to live in. Food in their stomachs, and lucrative employment. You don't deserve any of that. By God's grace, you have it. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I make. I don't. But you're here, and if you live in America, you're in the top 1%. The top 1%. The poorest person in this room is richer than most of the rest of the world. If you're struggling, see Brother Carlos, he's loaded. He'll help you out. But other than that, we all struggle. I get it. But it's by God's grace. Pride is wanting to run your own life. Pride has a hard time taking orders or seeking counsel. Oh, I could spend hours on this. And the men that are not willing to listen to godly wives or godly counsel or godly pastors or this, I got it. I know what I'm doing, Pastor. Slow down. Open the Word of God. What does God want for you? Take the counsel. Back up. It'd be even better to just go get the counsel. And don't have a preconceived idea of what the answer ought to be before you go in. So many times people come to my office and say, Pastor, this is what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do. What I'm going to do. What do you think? Okay, you do it. Whatever. You're not asking for counsel. You're asking for approval, and I ain't giving it. You go to the Word of God open-hearted. Go to your pastor. Go to a godly, aged man in your congregation and say, what do you think about me buying this new Lexus, Pastor? Have you tithed? How much debt do you have? Do you own anything? Back up. Pride has a hard time taking orders or seeking counsel. Pride produces fake living. Fake living. Pride entices you to try to be something you are not. You know what I am? Nobody. Nobody. You know who you are? Nobody. Nobody. But I am a child of God. I know the one who is everything. Let's stay humble in that. Great preacher said, be what you is, not what you ain't. Because if you is what you ain't, then you ain't what you is. And that's good doctrine. Whoo! I can't say it, but it's good. Be what you see is what you get. Don't be that divided heart that Carlos was talking about. Sunday morning, Monday morning, nobody at work knows you even go to church. Oh, dear Lord. Dear Lord. Don't be that guy. They should be making names of you, calling you Reverend. Calling you Pastor. That's the guy I want to go to church with. That's the guy I want to go to work with. Because they're saying, hey, Reverend, you're going to church this weekend? Yeah, you coming with me? Where's my tracks? Ooh, I don't have any tracks. It's awful. I'm fired. That's the guy we should be with. Psalms 10:4 says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Who's in your thoughts? Twitter? Beyonce? I don't even know who that is. Psalm 37, or 73:6. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. You see how that goes together? There's pride compasseth them about as a chain. Produces violence in them. The root of every argument is pride. Pride stops an argument from being settled. Proverbs 16:5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Colon. Woo. That means like a pause there. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Through hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. You're not going to get away with this, what God says. It's going to happen. Ezekiel 16:49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. This sounds like every teenager I ever met. This sounds like most of 30-year-olds in America. Get busy doing something for God. Eat a little less bread and be humble about it. James 4:6. But he giveth grace, giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. I need grace. I need grace. Come on, anybody else? I look at my life and I look at where I'm going and I look at my kids. I got an 18-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 5-year-old. I need grace. This is an 18-year-old. I'm getting nervous. Anybody? I need some counsel. My 18-year-old is working her first job and thinking about college. And I'm going, dear Lord, I don't know if I did a good job raising her. I'm looking at her and she's a great kid. I'm going, anybody? I'm sending her out in the world that hates Christians. I'm sending her out in the world that I need grace. I need humble. I need God's power in my life. James 2 speaks much of the sin of respect of persons. It is the sin whereby you treat the rich and the upper crust in one way and the poor and reject the misfits. This world is full of misfits, and Christians and churches should be full of weird people. Brother, I'm glad. Transgender, amazing. Thank you. Thank you for reaching out to people that everybody else in the Christian world goes, I don't know about that guy. One day you were that guy. Not too long ago, you were that guy. Amen? That, I don't know if we should sit by that guy in church. Sit by that girl in church. Invite him out to lunch. Be that one. Webster sent a congratulatory note to 20 acquaintances that had done nothing of notable recognition. In less than 2 weeks, all of them sent him a thank you note, even though they had done nothing. That's pride. I can do all things. That's pride. I could do no thing. That's pity. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's peace. That's grace. That's humility. That's strength that you don't have and I don't have, but God gives. Turn to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. You know this passage. I'm just going to read it and move on. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which just weaken the nations? You see that? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet though thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. There's a lot of eyes in there. And that's the beginning of every sin. I can handle it. I can click on this once and it'll be okay. And then it's got you. And then it becomes a stronghold in your life. I can take one puff. I can take one sip. I can flirt with this coworker at work one time and it's okay. And Satan's got you. Because he knows how to put pride. And we are men and we're strong and we can handle it. We can do it. And that's where he gets you every time. That's where he gets me every time. I sin, pride. So we really, this morning, saw a description of pride. Let's talk about some victims of pride. Let's talk about some real victims of pride. It's 1 Samuel 15. We see Saul. Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? Saul was a great guy. Saul was the guy that God was going to use. And Samuel says, you were great until you got too big for your britches. And now, I'm done with you. The entire chapter of 1 Samuel 15, Saul argued with Samuel that he did obey. He was too stubborn and proud to admit that he was wrong. God ceased to use him. If pride can get Saul, I think it can get you. If pride can get Saul, I think it can get me. We see in 2 Kings 5:11, we see the story of Naaman. But Naaman was wroth and he went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely say, come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Parphar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He says, what? I thought he was going to come out and do some prophety thing. But no, I have to go get in a muddy river. And no, I have to go clean the toilets of the church. No, I have to work this job that I hate. No, I can't believe my wife. She's annoying. I've met some of you. Naaman was upset because he was told to wash, be humble in a muddy river, and be healed. Just be healed. Humble. He thought he deserved better than that. The Pharisees in Luke 18, the Pharisees stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men or extortioners, even unjust adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all my possessions. You can just see the pride dripping from that sentence, can't you? You can just see it just oozing out of every part. He thought he could look down on others. Only God is high enough to look down on anyone. Hello? We live in Southern California. I can't go into a grocery store without getting molested by someone saying, hey, can I have a couple bucks? And smelling kind of funky. Anybody? Maybe that's just Moreno Valley. Okay, this is Moreno Valley. All right, I got you. That guy needs the Lord as much as the next guy. Now, maybe we should have some wisdom on whether or not he's really coherent enough to understand what you're saying. But let's remember, we could be that guy. Like that. One sip leads to another sip, leads to destruction. You've seen it, I've seen it. If we're not careful, we could be that guy. Acts 12. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, set upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God. Uh-oh. And not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten up with worms. And then he gave up the ghost. Let's give God the glory. Herod took the glory that belonged to God, and he died in a way that I don't want to die. Let's pause and reflect the praise back to God. You know the story of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4. If you go to Hosea and back to Daniel, that's where it is, Daniel chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was pretty big, didn't he? God made him in grass for a long, long time. I don't know about you, but I'd rather humble myself before the Lord than be humbled by God. And that's the thing. You can do that. Did you know that? Do we still have altar calls in these churches? I think that's what that's for, right? You can say, God, I've been struggling with this. I need help. And then we get right down to here. And it's not some show. It's right here. Bowing before the Lord, humbling ourselves, prostrate before Him, and saying, God, don't hurt me, don't kill me. I give up. What do you want? What do I need to change? You know what you need to change? Ask your wife. She'll help you. Ask your kids. Have you ever asked your kids? Well, that's a scary thing. Your 5-year-old is intuitive. No, I'm serious. You ask your 15-year-old. He knows when you're lying or not. He knows the real you. You want to be humbled? Say, son, what? How do you think my Christian life is going? What do I need to work on? Oh, he's going to say, you're a liar, Dad. That's a tough thing. But I think we'll all be better for it. Humble before the Lord. Get at this altar. So we saw a description. We see some victims. Let me ask you, let me give you a quick quiz right here in the middle. We're almost done. Answer these questions. Are you easily offended? God's watching. He knows your heart. Don't lie. Are you easily offended? By your wife, your kids, your coworker, your neighbor, the people in your church? I can't believe they sat in my seat. It's not your seat. Does it irritate you when your faults are corrected? When you make mistakes, do you make an alibi or own up to it? I would have got it done if it hadn't been for Pastor Danny, but I did it. No. You just didn't get it done. There might be circumstances, but just own it. I didn't get it done. Is that hard to say? I messed up. I stayed up too late watching Netflix. I didn't get it done. Guilty? Do you find it hard to receive instruction? Do you mind being told what to do? It's quiet in here. Southern California, listen right here. This is one that bugs me. I'm guilty of it, okay? How well do you listen? This is what I see at men's meetings like this. What's your name, young man? What's your name?
Daniel,
could you stand up for me right here? This is what I see right here. And I'm guilty of it, you're guilty of it, but don't do it at this meeting. Hi, Daniel, how you doing? It's nice to meet you. So, what are you up to? Where do you live? Yeah, okay, great. Let's look at Daniel. Let's be interested in Daniel. What Daniel's going on, are these your boys?
Yeah.
Sharp-looking kids, man. How old are they?
9 and 7.
9 and 7. Those are good ages, man. Let me give you the instructions. Children and canoes, they're a lot alike. They're better handled if paddled from the rear. That's good advice, amen? Don't be that guy. When you're talking to somebody, listen. And then if they give advice, apply it to the seed of knowledge. Do you get upset when someone crosses your rights? When did we all become about our rights? There was a day and age where it didn't matter. You just got the job done. Oh, I deserve. I have my rights. We need some Christians that are just going to be willing to get it done. Purple chairs and all. when's the last time you sought real counsel? You went outside of your comfort zone and went and asked a godly man, how are my kids doing? Should I buy a new boat for the pastor? Yes. Lastly, do you have a grateful spirit? So we saw pride's description, pride's victims. We took a quiz. How'd we do? Lastly, pride's end. Look at Proverbs 11 and Proverbs 16. Proverbs 11, 2. When pride cometh, then cometh. When pride cometh, then cometh what? I hate to say it, but I'm pretty ashamed of America. Anybody else with me? I hate to say it, but I'm pretty ashamed of Christendom in America. If we're not careful, I could be pretty ashamed of my family because of my own pride. How many families have I seen in my church 21 years that raised children according to the world, but were in church, they were that divided heart, and then they come to me, Pastor, my daughter, she's off and doing this and tattooed and crazy and da-da-da, and I go, shame is all that's left. A lot of prayer, a lot of fasting. They're in the world. Not much more you can do. I'll tell you this, you can keep going in the right direction. And be there when the prodigal comes back. Do you remember that story? The father was still there. That's a huge testimony. That's a huge testimony. Because so many in my church, when that happens, they follow their kids. What sense is that? What sense is that? No, the prodigal's father stayed there. He had some fields to plow. He had a house to build. There was a place for him, the kids and the grandkids to come back to and heal and make it right and go in the right direction. But when the father falls apart and follows the kids, well, we have destruction like no other. We have a pattern of destruction. We have a whole family that just slides off into the abyss. When pride comes, shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Look at Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, 18. I don't know whose water this is right here, but thank you. I'm drinking it. I hope you don't have some disease. Proverbs 16, 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. We see pride's descriptions, pride's victims. We see pride's end. Now let's just stop there. A lot of messages stop there, but I'm going to take 7 more minutes. Don't time me. And let's find the cure. So many messages point out the problem, but don't give the cure. Let's find the cure. Can we do that? 1 John 1:9. Do we know this verse? Can we quote this verse? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us the sins and cleanse us from what? That's the first cure. Confess it, guys. Go to your wife and say, babe, I've been clicking on this website and it's killing my relationship. That's going to be a fun night of fighting, I guarantee it. But I guarantee it's going to be the cure. Have you ever taken a cure that you didn't like? I don't know of you, but I don't like NyQuil. But it works. Anybody? I don't like shots. Some of them work. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That cure works. I guarantee it. Go to your boss. I did it. I messed up. Go to your pastor. My kids are a mess. What do I do? I'm a mess. What do? Go to the Lord. Confess it. And then what? Forsake it. You better put that computer in the middle of the living room. Your wife had better have every stinking password. I don't care if you don't have a problem with that. Your wife should have every stinking password anyways. We're all prone to that. Put it out there. Be open and honest and say, babe, I've struggled with this. Pastor, I've struggled with this. Godly man, I'm struggling with this. Get help. Confess. Forsake it. Number two. You know how to get a hold of pride? Look at Philippians 2:7. Philippians 2:7. Speaking of Jesus, but he made himself of no reputation and took on the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion of man, what did he do? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If you get busy serving God's people, you won't have time for that. You take the nastiest job at your church and love it. Get your kids involved. We're going to clean every toilet with a toothbrush because we want to be servants of God. Find the worst job at your work that nobody else wants and own it. Serve the people. Find that widow lady that she's worried that tree that's 67 feet from her house is going to fall on it. Get out there and trim it and make her feel better about it. Clean her gutters. Go over and shave her cat. Get rid of her cat, whatever it is. Find somebody to serve. You want to get rid of pride? Go knock some doors. Go in that neighborhood where you're afraid you're going to get shot. If you don't have one of those, come to my house. And you will be thankful for your ratty house real quick. You'll be thankful for your ratty shoes and your late model Toyota Tercel. Because it runs most of the time, and that one that's on blocks in the neighborhood that you're at, and you'll hear the stories when you knock on those doors. My ex-husband was here last night, and see these bullet holes, and my kids are gone because CPS was here this morning. And you'll be thankful, and you'll be serving some people. Get involved. Thanksgiving's around the corner. Who needs some help? You don't know? Find out. If you don't know, there's a social service worker somewhere. There's a pastor somewhere that knows some bus kids. Get over there and make them some culottes. I don't know, do we still do that? Get something. Get busy serving people. Get busy serving God people. It will remove pride. Do some free work. Shine some shoes. Wash a car. What it is forget. Forget how great you think you are. Number three, obey God's man. There's some godly men in this room. There's some wonderful pastors in this room. Exodus 10:3 says, "And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me." Your pastor probably has a thought for you. But you're so proud that he hasn't even approached you. Do you hear me? He thinks you can handle that Sunday school class and do a great job. He's thinking about starting a ministry for the homeless, and you're the guy. Just obey him. Don't say, "I can't." Just say, "Okay, here we go." Oh, got real quiet again. Number four. Number one, confess it. Number two, serve God's people. Number three, obey God's man. Number four, remember God's blessings. Deuteronomy 8:2. "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no." Write down, remember the blessings of God. Don't forget them. Don't forget them. Remember that time? No, you don't. It's because you need to write it down. We're short memories, don't we? I have a photographic memory, but no film. Hallelujah. Write it down. Lastly, Proverbs 35:13. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth, I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own bosom. Be good for us to put on some sackcloth and pray for somebody. Seriously, Skip, I don't think anybody in this room is going to die without a couple of meals. I know I'm not. And I know most of you aren't. Bow before the Lord. Give up those lunch breaks and dinner times. Honestly, earnestly pray. You want the cure? If you in this room today are saying, I didn't need this message, you're the guy that it's for. And if you're saying, I needed that one, but not that one, check, double check. Because the one that you're probably saying, I probably didn't need that point, it's a good chance that's the one that we needed. Every head bowed. Father, thank you. Thank you for these men. Thank you for the message we've heard. Dear Lord, please help these men in this room to be humble before you. Lord, I know when I pray that, that probably means trials and difficulty for each and every one of them. And I say that with fear in my heart for them, fear for their families, fear for their churches. Because that humbling often comes with difficulties and scars. But when we are tried, there's a chance for us to come forth as gold. Lord, I pray that would happen in this room with these men. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor.